It must be very tempting for a president to lapse into thinking that he is all-powerful and able to do whatever he wants. We have had the experience of presidents being accorded long and elaborate titles and being told that they are all-powerful and cannot be contradicted. Members of the Council, it is in the light of such experience that the framers of our Constitution found it necessary to establish a Council of State to give impartial and objective advice to the President. It is important, therefore, that regardless of whatever your background, you would discharge your duties dispassionately. This means that the Council has a great responsibility. It would be easy to fall into the well-known temptation of telling the president what you think he wants to hear. It would be equally tempting to tell the president he's the best thing that ever happened to Ghana. And it would be even more tempting to tell the president to ignore his critics. I expect this council will not walk this road. In my view, the council is not an extension of the executive, and you will not thus be representing the president or his ministers of state. I look forward very much to working with a council that will offer me straightforward advice based on unvarnished truth. I look forward to working with a council that will help all of us deepen our democracy. And I look forward to working with a council that will help us deliver a prosperous Ghana. Such a council should not give advice to a president, the effect of which is to undermine the independence of any of the other arms of government, especially the judiciary.
Jobin Hene Nana Otuosribuo, who spoke on behalf of the council, pledged their unflinching support to government. He indicated that the council will publish their activities annually to bring the public up to speed on their constitutional responsibilities.
We come into office fully conscious of the overwhelming mandate given to you by the people of Ghana in December 2016. And indeed, we congratulate you on that historic feat. But more importantly, we are also fully conscious of your commitment to rebuild the economy, create jobs for the unemployed, cleanse the system of overpowering corruption and impunity, as well as preserve and enhance the values of freedom, the rule of law, and good governance. In this endeavor, we pledge our unflinching support. We shall not be a rubber stamp. We shall tell it like it is. We hope that you will take us as it is. We intend to fully exercise this mandate in support of the crusade against corruption and to promote value for money. The council can only prove its worth by the quality of its council. We consider it our onerous duty to offer appropriate advice to assist you and your government deliver on your commitments to justify the mandate of the people. We also hope for a listening ear throughout our work. We have been sworn in at a time when there is public debate about the relevance and utility of the Council of State. This debate, to some extent, reflects a lack of appreciation of the full scope of the Council's constitutional responsibilities and also a lack of adequate public awareness of its work. We intend to address the issue of inadequate publicity of the Council's work by publishing annually reports of our activities, highlighting consultations with the executive, legislature, and other departments of state.
That was the Jobin Hene Nana Otuosribuo.
So how relevant is the Council of State to governance system in the country? Dr. Eric Odruosang, who is a lawyer and political economist, is on the line to help us understand the functions of the Council of State. Good afternoon, Dr. Odruosang.
Good afternoon.
Now, Doc, what are the functions of a Council of State and how relevant is this body?
Thank you very much, and let me say good afternoon to your listeners. The Council of State is an important constitutional body to serve as an advisory body to the President, the Parliament, the Judiciary, and other critical institutions of state. And they advise on issues that are of national importance. But in recent times, people have criticized the Council of State because of the impression and the perception that they are not living up to expectations. And these criticisms were also mentioned at the Constitutional Review Commission's work, And it has been recommended that if the Council of State would be able to be truly independent, it will help. And again, we also realize that at the moment, the Council of State does not have a legislative framework, or as a nation, we don't have a special framework document or law on the Council of State that provides for their functions, their funding, their accounting and annual reporting. So if that bit can be streamlined so that the Council of State can annually present a report on the activities, the kinds of advice they've given to the three arms of government, the extent to which these three arms of government have complied with the advice, and any other challenges they've had, it will really help. So that people will really get to know the work of the Council of State and its relevance in our governance.
Now, Doc, there are those who are of the view that the council is just there to sing praises of the government. Is that the case?
That is not the case at all. My understanding is that they weigh issues and then give objective advisory, objective advice, to not only the president. They also advise the judiciary. They also advise parliament. But I think in recent times, because their activities are not open to the public, and it seems to me that they have not rejected or they seem to accept anything that the president says, or even the president accepts the advice on a wholesale basis. That may be the reason why people are saying that. But it's also part of the reason, because we haven't also come up with a law clearly identifying their functions and then even clarifying how they advise, they are supposed to advise the president or parliament. And even what happens if the president decides not to respect the advice of the Council of State. If we are able to streamline all these, but I think as of now, it would be extremely difficult for anybody to say that the Council of State is singing to the praises of the president. It should not be the case at all.
Now, do you foresee the council being bold to tell the president he is wrong in taking certain critical decisions?
Yeah, they should be able to do that. But unfortunately, I am yet to cite any instance. I stand to be corrected, where when the Council of State have been told to tell the president that what they have done, what the president has done is wrong, or any other. I think from the way the Council of State is composed, where we give the president enough powers to appoint a number of people, that in a way can lead to over-politicization of the Council of State. And when it is over-politicized, it will then be difficult for them to say no to the president. I am of the view that if we can depoliticize the Council of State by making sure that out of the 11 members or so appointed by the president, if we can reduce it to about 5, and then allow the private sector, the academia, and other institutions to also have representation of the Council of State, it will really help. And then also the way they are even elected. When you look at the electoral college that elects members of the Council of State, they are not broad enough. So if we can widen it and even allow the various district assemblies to do the elections on a region-by-region basis, so that we can consolidate the results, it will help. Rather than having an electoral college at the regional level made up of representations from the district assembly to elect the regional representatives, it doesn't augur well. We should broaden that base. And once we do that, we will depoliticize it, and then we will stop, if any, at all, changing the praises of the president.
And so finally, how should the Council of State function to make its work transparent to the public, to clear some of the doubts about them?
First and foremost, if any advice they give to the president must be documented. Whether or not the president or any of the three arms of government complies with the advice, they should also write back. That should be documented. Annually, the Council of State is expected to publish their report. I would advise that they publish a report on their activities to Parliament, so that Parliament, in the representatives of the people, can discuss the report of the Council of State, so that people will get to know what the Council of State is doing. And then again, there should be a funding mechanism and then a law that provides specific for the operations. If they are able to do that together with the annual publication of their activities report, I'm sure it will make the Council of State activities very transparent. People will continue to have the confidence that we have in them. I think that these are the things.
Hello, Doc.
Yes, madam.
We seem to not hear you clearly. Can you reposition yourself a bit?
All right. Okay. What I'm saying is that the council should publish annual reports on their activities. And if possible, make these reports available to Parliament and the parliament would have to discuss their report as the representative of the people. Once they are able to do that, it will introduce some level of transparency in that, in the activities, because now they operate as a council of state. Citizens are not aware of the kinds of advices they give to the three arms of government. Citizens are not aware whether or not the president, chief justice, or even the speaker of parliament, who is also supposed to be advised by the council of state, go by these advices or not. And then if they don't go by the advice, what are the sanctions regime? We need to know all of that so that people will know what exactly they do, so that it can also justify the public expenditure that we incur on their activity. This has been the situation for a very long time. I think once our democracy is growing, we should introduce some level of transparency in the operation of the council.
A quick one before you go. How binding is the decision of a council of state on the president?
At the moment, it is very fluid under our law. The function of the Council of State is just provided for in our constitution. We don't have any legislative framework that operationalizes it. And the binding bit is also silent. So the backstops at the desk of the president. So the president can decide not to even keep to the advice of the Council of State, and that will not be illegal. So I think it's about time we tighten our laws and then ensure that whichever way it goes, the president will listen to the advice of the Council of State. And but before we get to that level, we should make sure that the Council of State is depoliticized. And if we do that, I'm sure it will help. Because the Council of State's advice is really not binding on the president. There is nowhere in the law that is provided for to be binding on the president. You know, so we need the Supreme Court to interpret it, whether or not the president can be bound by the advice of the Council of State. It is a sad situation, but unfortunately, that is what the president can choose not to heed to the advice of the council. Nobody can
take it. Doc, I'm finding it difficult letting you go. Now, a very last one. Now, how would you assess the female representation on the Council of State?
I think it's bad. It is not helping the situation at all. When you look at a population which has more than 51% of its population being female, and look at the representation on the Council of State, it is really not helping. We need a positive discrimination strategy as a country to be able to properly ensure that women are represented at the highest level. Because the Council of State is a body that advises the president. Among the advice include advice on women and gender issues. You can imagine if issues of gender come to the Council of State and they are going to advise, and we have this number of women on the Council of State, it is really not helping. So we need to make some quick moves to ensure that we have a number of women there. The elections may not help if it is by appointment. We should just encourage the president, once he has the power to appoint, he should appoint more women so that they can balance the number of women that will be elected. But the number of women on this current council is really disappointing. And I pray that we try to, the president in his subsequent appointment, appoint more women to balance the women, the